And what a joy, church. What a joy to have Dave and Cindy. I remember, and this won't make you guys old, don't get worried, but I do remember when I was quite young listening to them speak of the adventure to Hong Kong. And Dave, correct me if I'm wrong. Come on up here, guys. I believe that would have been in the auditorium at Malone Osborne Hall. Would we have yearly meeting services there? I think we did, and it was hot. And we were all dripping. And I remember Dave and Cindy being up front and quite fresh in their ministry. And I was struck by the idea of going to this place called Hong Kong. And all these decades, be careful we say decades, don't we? Later, you guys look exactly the same. She says, oh, yeah, right. And it's a joy for us to have you, part of our family, extension of the Friends Church, but extension of Gilead, too. So, people, give them a warm welcome. Gilead Friends, welcome.
Good morning, everyone.
我们今天很高兴来到和你一起分享我们在香港的侍奉。
We're very happy to come here this morning and share together with you and what we're doing in Hong Kong.
我现在是讲广东话，这个是香港我们讲的语言。
What I'm speaking now is Cantonese, and this is the language that we speak in Hong Kong.
And I'm done speaking in tongues, so I'll let Sherry, Cindy speak. Yeah.
We do want to say thank you, and thanks, Pastor, for introducing us in that way. We'll kind of build on that a little bit. I remember my first time at Gilead Friends Church was many, many years ago. And some of you who are a little bit more mature, I won't say old, mature, might remember back in the original building. And I came here and was dating Chuck Robinson at that point in my life. And he was his dad was a pastor here. And so this church has always had a really soft spot in my heart. So I just you have been part of our lives, and we've been part of your life for a long time. And it's amazing how God weaves our stories together. And we just want to share this morning how your support and prayers over the years have, God has taken the strand of that support and woven it into the lives of people all around the world. Many years ago, how long we've been in Hong Kong? Anybody want to venture a guess? I know Marty knows. Okay, anybody besides Marty? We were friends at Malone. We've been in Hong Kong for 40 years. And we went when we were five. Yeah. In case you can come up later and see my gray hair. And really, that is a clap offering to God. That God could take a very shy, backward girl from Holmes County, Walnut Creek, and send her to one of the busiest cities in the world, and use her. That's God. And he's still doing that. And it's been 40 years. We've done a lot of different things over the years. And in the last 4 years, God has called us to do something completely new. And when we went back to Hong Kong in 2009, we knew we should go back, but we didn't know what we were going to be doing for sure. At that point, we work with another organization in Hong Kong called One Mission Society, and Dave had been the field leader for 19 years, and they decided to combine China and Hong Kong together, so he didn't need to be field leader. So we began to ask, Lord, we know we're going back to Hong Kong, but what are we going to do? And I brought this little bucket up here to kind of make a visual. I borrowed this from my grandson, Nate. How many of you know what a bucket list is? Okay, well, I think everybody knows pretty much. I had to learn what that meant. I didn't know what that meant. But, you know, a bucket list is where you kind of think about all the things you'd like to do before you, quote, kick the bucket. Before you go on to your next life, the things that are important, the things that are exciting, the things you've always wanted to do all your life and just haven't done yet. Well, we got to that point 4 years ago, and we began to say, God, what's on your bucket list? really isn't about what's on my bucket list that counts. It's what's on God's bucket list for me and for my life. And you know, the song you just sang just really struck my heart. And I'll probably come back to that later. All I have is Christ, and Jesus is my life. Really? That's it. Christ died for us. He gave everything for us. And he asked the same of us. And he's been asking that of us. And he will be there when we give that to him. So 4 years ago, when we were deciding, Lord, what do you have for us in the next time in life? You know, I do a lot of running. I do a lot of long distance running. Yesterday I did the half marathon. It was great. And it's because I do a lot of racing, you know, you don't finish the race until you cross the finish line. And in my life, I want to finish well. And I want to get to the finish line with him. And I don't know where that finish line is, but I want to do what he asked me to do. So 4 years ago, God asked us to do something that I had told God I never wanted to do. Now, first of all, let me give you some advice. Never tell God what you're not going to do. That's like throwing down the gauntlet in front of God. And he says, yeah, well, watch what I'm going to do through you. He asked us to plant a church, and that was one thing I just said, God, I love to work in the church. I'll do all kinds of things, but I really don't want to start a church. And he said, well, that's what you're going to do. So we went back to Hong Kong, and there was one church. We've been working with 20 Chinese churches over our time in Hong Kong. One of those churches decided to take a risk. And this church is 60 years old. It's a very traditional Chinese church. And they decided to take a risk with us and plant an international English-speaking church. So they became our mother church, and we are the baby church. I mean baby, because it was Dave and I and five people from the Chinese church, five brave people willing to get on this adventure with us. And I remember we first went to our first deacons meeting, and they looked at us, and we looked at them, and we're like, we don't know what we're doing. And they said, we don't know what we're doing. And it's like, okay, that's a good place to be, because you depend on God and you look to him. The name of the mother church is Yanyu, which means grace rain. And the name of our little baby church is called River Grace International Christian Fellowship. Because what happens when the rain comes down, and the rain comes down, and the rain comes down, the rivers rise. And we want our church to be a place of grace for people who need grace. And that is our prayer, that the river of God's grace will flow out to whoever comes in the door of the church.
I'd like to just share with you a little bit about the people that we have coming to the church, because it's been a very interesting adventure. When we started the church, we didn't have a particular people group in mind. We just had anybody who needed grace, who could maybe be involved in an English congregation. So we just that was our prayer. And we, as Cindy mentioned, we started with five people from the Chinese church. It was a real blessing that two of those were my former students who I had when I first went to Hong Kong back 40 years ago. They were my students who were involved with us. So that was great to see that chain and that connection and their service. But today we minister to about 60 people each week in the various functions that we have. And it's a very international church. That was our hope and dream in Psalm 2:8, the psalmist David said, ask of me and I will give you the inheritance of the nations. And so that has been our dream as part of the church. But we have around 15 different countries represented in those 60 people. So it provides some very interesting things. Hong Kong is a melting pot. And one of the ways, it's a challenge, because we have so many different countries. We have different languages represented. And it's a challenge sometimes to communicate with them. We had some Africans that are there who barely knew any English, but the only way we could communicate was to give them love, give them a hug, give them a welcome, make them a welcome. Most of the people in our church are non-permanent residents in Hong Kong. And so we realize that our ministry really extends beyond just the number of people that we are serving. In a way, we see it a little bit like a school, because we know we'll have those people for maybe a few years, but then they will be going on to other countries and take them, whatever they have learned and what they've been trained to do, take that with them. Just about 2 weeks ago, I had a Filipino that had been in the Philippines for a holiday, and she texted and said that while she was there, she had reestablished a relationship with a sister that had been broken. She also said that she had led her son to the Lord, and so that's the kind of thing that we feel. The river is flowing out beyond the walls of the church where we are. One of the main groups that we have in our church is Filipinos. We find there's about 150,000 Filipino domestic helpers in Hong Kong. They live in the homes, they take care of the children, or in some cases, elderly people. They do the cleaning, they do the cooking, and everything. They only have one day off a week, generally. Most of the time it's Sunday, but it can be really any day that the employer gives them off. So we have to do a lot on Sundays with many of our activities. We go to church about 8 o'clock in the morning, and we leave around 8 o'clock in the evening because of the different activities that we have and have to do a lot of that on Sunday. We find that the Filipinos are quite responsive to the gospel. They come from a Catholic nation. You don't have to explain to them who Jesus is. You don't have to explain to them about sin. But the thing that they often don't realize is that it's Christianity. Being a Christian is about a relationship with Jesus. So when they understand that, then they've often turned to the Lord. We also have about 170,000 Indonesian domestic helpers there in Hong Kong. They're a bit difficult to reach, and because they're a Muslim country, most of them are Muslims, and so it takes a while to build a relationship with them, and we've had some of them that have come to our activities and to our church. One of the groups that we also have been working with, and we really had no knowledge about this group of people before we started the church, but that is asylum seekers and refugees. Asylum seekers are those people who have left their country for whatever reason. Many times it's because of the political situation. Sometimes it's because of religious persecution or maybe tribal warfare, different reasons that they will come to seek asylum. But there's about 8,000 asylum seekers there in Hong Kong. And they come from any country around the world where there's trouble today. That's where they are coming from. We have many Africans. We have many from the Mideast countries where there's always trouble. But this has been a very interesting group to work with, but yet very challenging, because many of them come with very deep wounds from the past. One of the guys in our church, and you'll see him in the video in a few minutes, but he has two stab wounds where he was. They tried to kill him because in Togo that government switched, and he ended up on the wrong side of the government, and they tried to kill him. We have others many of them suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder. So it is a challenge, but it's also a joy to work with them. Many of them are deeply spiritual, and one of my favorite times a week is the Wednesday. We have a Wednesday morning men's Bible study. And we have some very, very interesting discussions. One time, there was an Indian man. He was coming to our church. He had come from India to seek asylum, but ended up not being able to get it. He ended up going back to India. But I remember in one of our discussions on Wednesday, he had been a Muslim, but then he had converted when he was in Hong Kong. And he asked the question. He said, "Well, how many wives can a Christian have?" Well, I thought, I think God's design was Adam and Eve in the garden. I think his design was to have one husband and one wife. And then he said, "Well, what happens if you're a Muslim and you have four wives and you become a Christian? Do you have to divorce three of them?" That's a little bit trickier, isn't it? And I'm not here to promote polygamy, but basically I said, in a country where if you're a divorced woman, there's no way you're going to be able to take care of yourself and your children. So I said, I think it's more Christian to stay married to them and take care of them. But that's just some of the interesting kinds of discussions that we have had in that class. We do have, there are about 80% of the asylum seekers in Hong Kong are Muslim. So it's sometimes it takes a lot of time to build a relationship, trust relationship, where you can share the gospel with them. And we do have several of them that have come to our activities, and it's we just try to work on the relationship. Another group of people that we have in our church is a group of young people. There was another organization that we've partnered with on some events, and they do some of the social work side of the reaching ethnic young people. These are young people who are at risk because they don't speak English. I mean, they don't speak Chinese, or maybe they speak it, but they don't read it and write it, so it's difficult for them to have a job. It's difficult for them to study in Hong Kong, to go beyond high school, and so many times they are at risk for drugs and other kinds of problems that go along with that. But this organization, they taught them music, they were a band, made a band out of them, and there's about a dozen of them that they handed off to our church to do the spiritual side, and it's been a joy to work with them. I really love that group. We usually meet on Friday night. When they first started coming, all they wanted to do was play, but over time, we have developed a relationship and have been able to share. Just before I left in December, the last time I met with them, I just shared very clearly the gospel presentation, and I think every one of them prayed to receive Christ. And so we just thank that and just pray for that group, because they really need to mature and deepen their relationship with the Lord. And it's not easy for them just because of the kinds of things that they face. One of the groups that we do have some local Chinese or some local permanent residents, but we realize that that's one of the areas where we need to develop more, because if we're going to have a steady church that can pay the bills and support itself, be self-supporting, then we need to develop this local group. The Filipinos, they don't make much money in terms of their salary compared to normal people, working people in Hong Kong. For the asylum seekers, they have absolutely nothing. The government gives them gives their landlord a little bit of money for rent, which means maybe just a very small room. Sometimes they have to live together to be able to pay the rent, because Hong Kong is an extremely expensive place to stay. They also give them coupons every 10 days to go to a certain place where they can get their food. But that's all they have. They're not allowed to work. So sometimes it's very difficult. The government doesn't want to make it too easy for them to come, because there's already 8,000 of them. And actually, Hong Kong does not accept refugees. So if a person is an asylum seeker, that's when they apply to the United Nations. And that's why they come to Hong Kong. There's a United Nations office there that can help them. And so when they apply for asylum, if they're granted the next status, that would be refugee status, and then they're enabled to be settled in another country. As I said, Hong Kong does not accept them, so they have to look for other countries. And so that's a little bit about the people of our church. We just thank the Lord. It's a real blessing to work with them. It's a challenge, too. One prayer request I want to share with you, and that is that, as we've already been mentioned, we're quite old, getting to the place where we're thinking about retirement and when we should come back. And so one of the things, when I get back, I go back in mid-June. When I get back, one of my first jobs is going to be to start the search process for a pastor who can lead the church. It takes kind of a special kind of a person who's going to be able to work with the different cultures. And so if we find somebody who's ready to go, we'll turn the church over to them, work alongside them for a while. If they are not quite ready and they need a little bit of mentoring, we'll do that, and that we will be able to have a smooth transition. But that's our prayer. So would you at least remember, if you remember one thing to pray for, that's the biggie in terms of this coming term for us. So we just, I'm going to have Cindy, she's going to share with you a couple stories.
You know, this isn't just nameless, faceless people, refugees. These are real people. And it's been a very humbling experience for me to work with refugees and work with asylum seekers and work with domestic helpers and work with people that the world sees as kind of the bottom. And it's been very challenging. At the beginning of our You know how sometimes God leads you and you don't even know he's leading you until later you look back and you realize, wow, God, that was really you. Early on when we started River Grace, we had posted on our bulletin board it's a song, but it's also like a prayer that, you know, whoever you bring into our church, Lord, help us to love them. And I didn't realize how true that would be and what a challenge that would be. Like Dave said, when you work with all those cultures, 16, 17 cultures, you can't, there's no way I can learn 17 languages. There's no way that I can, you know, learn 17 cultures. And it was frustrating sometimes. I said, oh God, what can I do? And God said, just love them. Sometimes people come into our church, all they can say is hello, thank you, and goodbye in English. But they all need dignity, they all need honor, they all need to know that they are important to somebody. And most of all the refugees that we work with, the asylum seekers, they're there because they've had to flee their country for some reason or other. They have no family there, they have no one. And that's our job, to be the family of Christ. And I want to introduce you to two sisters that I have in Christ, two eternal sisters. One of those is Ada. You spell it A-D-A. You pronounce it Ada. And Ada is about this tall, tall and beautiful gal from Ethiopia. And Ada is in her early 20s, and she has been in Hong Kong for 3 years. Normally when they seek asylum, the fastest we've seen anybody get processed is 3 years. That's the fastest. And the longest, we know people that have been there for 15 years. No passport, no country, no job, just living in limbo for 15 years. And Ada came to Hong Kong. I don't know all of the story, because sometimes their stories are so traumatic that retelling them just digs up all that trauma. And so they're very careful, and also for security reasons, they're very careful about who they tell their story to. Ada mentioned that when she was in university in Ethiopia, there was something that happened. I don't know if it was tribal, it was ethnic, but Ada ended up on the wrong side. And her parents got together enough money to give her a one-way ticket to Hong Kong. And so she came to Hong Kong. Probably will never go back to Ethiopia. May never see her parents again. She does communicate with her parents. She calls them, and once in a while she Skypes. But she will probably never go back again. And Ada came, joined our church through one of her friends, and became gradually part of our church. Now, Ada grew up as a Christian. Her family was believers. And so she already, you know, believed in Christ. But one last year, about a year ago, we were at a retreat together, and Ada was sitting beside me, and the speaker was talking about forgiveness. And Ada started shaking, literally shaking. And I thought, oh, something's going on, and I just prayed. At the end of the service, the speaker gave an invitation for anybody who wanted to come up and offer forgiveness to people in their lives who had hurt them. And Ada went up. And when she came back down, sat down, she was very different. And she wrote in her testimony later, she said, finally, I was able to forgive and let go of the hatred and the bitterness and the anger toward those people who caused this situation that I had to leave my country, I had to leave my family, I had to leave my life. And Ada was different. And last May, Ada decided that she wanted to be baptized as an adult. She'd been baptized as a child in her church tradition. But Dave had the privilege of baptizing her in front of the Chinese church and the English church in a little swimming pool out at a retreat center last May. And she just glowed when she came out of the water. I'm going to stop Ada's story and pick up another story. And this is Mercy's story, and Mercy Day Tabali, and she's about this tall and weighs about 80 pounds soaking wet with all her clothes on. She is from the Philippines, and Mercy came to Hong Kong also about 3 years ago to work as a domestic helper. Mercy is a nurse, but she can make more money in Hong Kong as a domestic than she can in the Philippines as a nurse. So she left her children, she left her husband, and came to work as a domestic helper. New culture, new language, new people, everything new. Mercy was a Roman Catholic, and she didn't really know that God answers prayer. And we wanted her to join our retreat at Chinese New Year, and legally she wasn't able to have time off because she hadn't been there long enough. But we said, okay, Mercy, we're going to pray. We're going to pray that your employer, who is not a believer, is going to let you off to come to our retreat. And sure enough, the employer let her off, and she joined our retreat. And Mercy saw that God does answer prayer, and God does care about our situations. And Mercy gave her heart to Jesus, and she has been one of the greatest proponents of prayer in our church since that time. And always when we have these app messages and text messages, Mercy says, let's pray. And God answers her prayers. Well, Mercy's employer, after about 6 months into her employment, about a year ago, Mercy sent a text message and says, please pray because my employer has given me 1 week to pack up the house, and my employer is going to get divorced, and she's moving to Beijing, and he's leaving Hong Kong, and I don't have a job in 1 week. So that next Sunday, she came to church with her two suitcases, and she said, what am I going to do? I don't have anywhere to sleep tonight. And that's where God stepped in. And so Ada, the refugee, who lived in one room with one bed, said, Mercy, you can stay with me. So when they left that day, at the end of the day, there went the tall Ethiopian and the little Filipino whose lives had been joined because of Jesus. And the one who had nothing offered what she had to someone else in need. And we have seen through working with refugees and asylum seekers and people in need that that song really is true. All we really have is Christ. But you know, when we have Christ, we have everything we need. And I've seen that happen over and over. Just one interesting thing about Ada. Last November, the last Sunday before I left, Ada came to church and she was crying. And about 2 weeks before that, she had received word that the United Nations was sending her, no, it was longer than a month before, the United Nations was sending her to Calgary in Canada. And so Dave and I, some of our old students, lived in Calgary, so we had made arrangements for them to meet Ada and spend Christmas with her and be her friend and her family, and she was excited. But she came to me and said, Cindy, the United Nations has changed where I'm going. They're going to send me to Halifax, Nova Scotia. I had to look that up. I didn't even know where that was. It's way on the other side of Canada. And she said, I don't know anybody. And it was a real blow for Ada. And I said, Ada, God has taken care of you and preserved your life. And he's going to provide somebody. So let's pray. So we prayed, the church prayed. 2 weeks later, she went to Halifax. And about a week after that, we saw a Facebook message. And she said, Cindy, Dave, God answered our prayers. Ada was riding in a taxi, and she looked at the taxi driver, and she thought, wow, he looks a lot like my dad. So they started talking and got to know each other a little bit in this taxi ride and found out it was her uncle. They had thought he was dead. He was in a refugee camp in Kenya, and they lost track of him. They didn't know where he was, and she met him in a taxi in Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada. Now that, who can do that kind of stuff? Nobody but God can do that kind of stuff. So when you have God, you got a lot.
Thank to just pause. We have a little video. It's every year at our anniversary time, we make a video kind of highlighting the last year. So we will celebrate our fourth anniversary soon after I get back in June. But this one was from our third anniversary. And I just wanted to show it to you that you can see some of the people that we work with. You can see some of the activities that we do to reach out. We have to do a variety of things, cooking classes, any way that we can build friends and meet new people. So that I hope that this will just give you the pictures to visualize some of the things there. And then I will just close with a brief challenge. as I said before, many of our churches are, many of our people in our church are there temporarily. And so we really have to pour in as much into them as the time we have them and realize that they're going to be sent out and they're going to be, you take what they have learned with them. You know, that's basically what Jesus did too. When you look at his life, he called the disciples. He poured himself into those disciples and trained them and sent them out. He brought them back for, to evaluate their experiences. And also when you look at Apostle Paul's life, that's primarily what he did. He went to different places and he trained the people there and then set them loose. In 2 Timothy chapter 2:2, he said, "You have heard me teach these things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others." And you know, when you see this, there's a chain here where it's like they're passing the bucket from one to the other. And you have the reliable witnesses, probably referring to the disciples. Then you have Apostle Paul, who passed it on to trustworthy people who were going to pass it on to others. So you have those four generations there. You know, when you look back at your own life, I'm sure that you can point to different people in your life who poured themselves into you. And for that reason, maybe you came to Christ or you have developed in your spiritual life. And so God wants each of us to be involved in that chain. You know, we, as Cindy mentioned, you know, we ask, do you want to put in our bucket list for our remaining time in Hong Kong? And I think this is a good question for all of us. What has God put in your bucket? What has God put in your bucket? You know, he puts different things in different buckets. We have people that we minister into in Hong Kong that you will never be able to reach. But there's many people right here in Morrow County that we will never be able to reach. And so he calls all of us to be involved in that process. And he doesn't call all of us to do the same thing. He puts different things in your bucket than he's going to put in my bucket. Sometimes it's spiritual gifts or different talents or abilities that he's given us. Sometimes it may be even difficult or bad experiences that we have suffered in our life. And God can even use those, because as we learn and as we grow through those experiences, there's many other people that are experiencing the same thing. So we can share that with others. But God has put people in each of our sphere of influence. Maybe it's our colleagues at work. Maybe it's at school. Maybe it's our family. Maybe it's our neighbors. You know, he's not going to call everybody to cross the ocean, but maybe he calls everybody to cross the mud puddle in your own yard, or to reach the neighbors or people around you that are in your sphere of influence. So that's my challenge that I want to leave with you today. What has he put in your bucket? And how are you going to pass that on? Father, we just thank you that you have given us the opportunity to be involved in building your kingdom. And we won't all do it the same way. You ask each of us to do different things. But Lord, we just pray that we will be faithful like our people before us were faithful to pass on to us. Help us to be faithful to pass on to others those things that you have put in our bucket list. And Lord, may you use us and may you guide us and fill us with your spirit and power to enable us to do all that you ask us to do. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, guys. Dave and Cindy, I think I'd love for you guys to go back where the Marty and Greg are here. And we're going to pray over you. And we at Gilead, let's come on back. And then everybody can get close to you. We'll lay hands upon you and commission you once again. When do you go back? Dave, you go back sooner.
I go back mid-June and Cindy.
September,
okay. I think all of us at Gilead have learned to rely on the gospel, nothing but the gospel, and that alone with God's word. And the Great Commission, which you guys have heard over and over and over in your lives, having gone therefore to Hong Kong, having gone therefore to Morrow County, make disciples. And but that was when you brought tears to all of our eyes. I know that there was some laughter and tears, and it was a powerful, powerful motivation for us in the area of discipleship once again. And we want to commission you as your family here at Gilead. And just lay hands upon you. So, guys, just gather around. Stand together. And anybody close by, come around them. Lay hands on them. We've been motivated again, once convicted, but in a very beautiful way today. We've been convicted by your commissioning by the Lord God Almighty to preach the gospel to everyone, discipling them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we know, Lord Jesus, that you will be with us even to the end of the age. And just as such a beautiful picture of what do you want us to accomplish before you take us home. What a beautiful explanation Cindy and Dave have brought to us today of that gospel, the power of the gospel, the glory of it. And Lord Jesus, that you are alive in us and you're alive around the world. And you weren't kidding when you said that. It was not a simple statement. It was the most powerful word you could give us before you ascended to the right hand of the Father, that you would be there answering, interpreting our prayers, making them perfect as an offering to the Father. And in so doing, Lord, we go, having gone therefore to Hong Kong, to other parts of the world that our family is amidst, and all the countries, even this week, of last 2 weeks that we learned of our people in Nepal and the earthquake. Lord, we pray for them. And you have rescued them that they may continue discipleship there. And here, Lord, as we cross the creek or the mud puddle to the lives of the people around us, may this simple gospel that is so spectacular rest in our hearts and minds, the mind of Christ Jesus. Now, Heavenly Father, we lay our hands on Dave. We lay our hands on Cindy. As they have commissioned us, we so commission them. We know, Lord, it's not us but you. But yet you've adopted us into the family that we can participate by the laying on of hands. And therefore we cry with them and we laugh with them. We celebrate the spectacular answers to prayer that can only be by the power of the God of the universe. Lord, send us. Send us today. Send us once again to the people that you have placed in our bucket, the people that you've placed in our sphere of influence. Thank you, precious Jesus. The people of Gilead said, amen and amen. 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 We'll continue the gospel next week. Don't miss it. Help with chairs too, guys.